Lunchtime.
Thought he would never, never get us there.
Suspense. I'm a master of it.
Merry Friday the 13th, everybody.
Yeah.
Merry the unluckiest mid-Christmas you can have.
Our very well planned and realized spooky Christmas continues this week.
Yeah, it was a real missed opportunity because we had two concepts. We had Spooky Christmas and we had Sequel Christmas, and we were really feeling Sequel Christmas and we went with that. Mm-hmm. And boy, if we had Spooky Christmas concept on Friday 13th, Spooky Friday 13th lunch, holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Now we're going to have to mothball it for what, 7 years?
7 whole years.
Is that,
we're not even going to be in business that long.
Is there an algorithm to know this?
Or I thought that's how it works.
Oh, everything, actually, no, that wouldn't be.
Everything marches around in like 7 years, it all comes back and repeats.
Does it?
Isn't it? Doesn't it?
I have no idea.
Or is like all the odd numbered months fuck all that stuff up too? Yeah, I don't know.
Zero
clue.
I know
that works with my birthday. Like every 7 years, my birthday will be on the same day that I was born.
Well, yeah, because it's the 7 days, but that's 7 days of the week. That's like
how
if it's a Monday,
Tuesday. Oh,
I guess
that
would work.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
right.
Friday, yeah.
Wouldn't leap year kind of fuck with that?
I was born before leap year.
Throw an extra day. You're born before what?
I was born before leap year. I was born earlier in the month in February. It was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a lot of math. It's a lot of math.
A lot of math.
And the world has calendars. We don't need to do math.
I'm sure we can look it up.
The Mayans figured it out. So.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Well, see, they didn't know about Friday the 13th, which is why they went extinct. They just had no idea to calculate when something catastrophic to civilization would occur.
Yeah, Jason killed them all.
He did.
Every single Mayan. Yeah.
He did.
Jason dead.
He popped out of that lake that Mexico City's built on and fucking took them all under.
And that's
start over.
And that's the story
that's
of Friday
why, that's
the 13th.
Why,
yep.
Yeah, that's why. Did you know that it is something of a historical quirk that the Europeans were able to it just so happens, I guess, that most of South and Central America were undergoing like a regime change. Like the Aztecs had recently kind of consolidated power and fought a bunch of bloody wars, and a whole bunch of people had axes to grind against them. So I don't know, a bit interesting to see like what a united South and Central America had done against the Europeans. I don't know, horses and armor and what?
Horses,
smallpox.
Armor.
That probably would have taken its toll, but it's like man, everything was stacked against them. Mary McCulkin. What are we doing?
McAllister, McLean, too.
Yep.
Christmas Harder. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I got to once again watch the Larry Christmas. Jingle All the Way, yeah. Too. The Christmas movie sequel.
Which I was finally able to actually successfully upload to YouTube today.
God, yeah, we had some like hardcore copyright strikes on that stuff that we had to resolve. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, we uploaded that. If you didn't know, there is a sequel to Jingle All the Way. It does not have Arnold Schwarzenegger. As a consolation prize, it has Larry the Cable Guy. It's produced by the Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Yep.
And it's directed by the dude that directs all the shitty Hallmark and Netflix Christmas movies. A Christmas Prince.
Yeah.
The Lacey Chabert one. I struggle.
Which one?
I struggle to say Lacey Chabert's name mightily in this podcast. It's a good watch. Yeah. These things are like instant classics. You guys should check them out. Hell, you're a club member. You've already paid for them. Things you haven't
Christmas
paid for
stuff going on,
huh?
Yeah, we've got other Christmas things going on too.
Things you haven't paid for is like check out these sweet things. We this has been a request for many years to add Christmas ornaments, and we've actually got them in two varieties. We have a logo version. That's in this crimson, kind of shiny, shatterproof, shatter-resistant flat globe. And then we have the Jim and Aaron with a Santa hat logo. Both of them have the year and the theme emblazoned on them. So that's cool. Those are available at merch.baldmove.com.
Mm-hmm. Which means any we have left over, we're going to take to the street and smash.
And the Bald Move
we're
Christmas...
We're going to find out how shatterproof they really are.
Throw them off the roof.
The Bald Move Christmas cards are on their way. This year, unlike last year, we are also sending a digital version to all club members because we don't send physical cards outside the United States because it's hella expensive. And some people don't, you know, because they have the wrong address or they've moved or the mailman thought it was a snazzy card and they stole it. They don't get there. So I'm going to send out a email blast with a high-res copy of the Christmas card for you to print out, and it's going to have like the last 3 years of like card outtakes and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that.
Are we going to have any cards left over this year?
Oh, yeah.
I've got an idea for what we should do with those.
We have actually several hundred of each previous year's card that I've got in storage.
Even better. Okay, here's what we need to do. We need
wallpaper
to
wallpaper the office.
No, although that would be pretty good.
Me and Tess were joking about like alternating rows of the Chris. Like how sweet that would be.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I might rescind this. But okay, here's my idea.
We'll have enough to do both ideas.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
we
so
have like 1,500 cards total.
It might not be enough. I want people to write in with their creative ideas on how to use the leftover Christmas cards, mm-hmm. and whoever's idea is in our estimation the best, we'll just send you all these Christmas cards and you could do it.
Okay.
That was kind of my idea.
What?
My idea was set up the Christmas cards, get people's ideas of how to, you know, manipulate or otherwise repurpose the cards, mm-hmm. and then the people who had the best ideas would get one of the 8 Liberace prints that I have. Have we not floated this idea before?
Prints. Just 8? I thought we have like 800.
I have 8.
What is a Liberace print?
Oh, it's one of
them. I know who Liberace is, but I don't.
It was something I won in an auction. I won like 800 versions of the exact same print of on canvas, like painted on canvas of Liberace.
Yeah, like how much does this cost? Like $10?
Yeah. They sold them in lots of 100 each. It doesn't make any sense.
And we were
of course
thinking,
I won them all.
We were thinking of like doing something Andy Warhol with it, like literally wallpaper our office with Liberace or something. Mm-hmm. Like that'd be so.
Yeah,
that'd
so
be
I'm
so
saying
cool.
Like we pick the top 8 people and send them each a print, and then whoever sends us back the best version of that gets
the other 800.
1 month of free membership.
Oh, I was going to say, get 792 gets
all the Christmas cards.
Say,
yeah.
I thought you're giving away the Liberace store, man.
Actually, you should open a Liberace store and sell those prints.
I have so many. We could, I mean, they're pretty big too, so it'd be pretty, actually really reasonable to wallpaper an entire room.
We've got Lyra, we've got Liberace.
Can we do a Liberace Dr. Manhattan mashup somehow? And how? I don't know.
I mean, tell me more.
I don't know. Just paint him blue.
I could paint him blue. And yeah.
Does Liberace have blue eyes?
Because,
like, what if you cut out all of his eyeballs out and just made, like, a collage of Dr. Manhattan using nothing but Liberace's irises?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That'd be frightening.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got another surprise. It's Christmas. I'm not sure if you guys are
aware. Oh, I've got surprises. We got tons of surprises. We're not done with the surprises.
Nice. I actually don't know how to use this yet.
Yeah?
I wanted to get into the mood. Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's amazing.
My hat's not.
It looks like you just have a lightning bolt coming out of your head.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's pretty.
Double dragon.
Yeah,
it's
warping out.
Off.
Yeah. I was just like, because in real life, it's impressive. I'm like, lightning bolt. And then I looked at the screen. Oh, yes.
Can we turn my green screen off for a second? And.
Also, are we sure the audio is going out? I'm freaking out.
Yeah, you're always freaked out about that, but it's just.
Yeah, but we had a problem with it that we resolved before you got here, and I just want to be. Can you scroll down and show me that it's working so I can. Oh, thank God. All right. Close one. What do you want to do?
We're going to turn off his green screen for a second.
Oh, okay. Drop my green screen for a second so people can see the glory of my Target purchase.
Oh, yeah.
It's
kind of
good.
Flopping over. Oh, there we go.
You look like the Pope of Christmas.
Christmas, Christmas.
Pontifex Christmases.
Okay.
All right.
That's fun.
Back
so I'm going to wear this
reality.
Today.
Was everybody drinking?
As I drink.
I just finished off the last of the Johnny Walker Blue.
You did?
So good.
There was not enough for me to go for the Johnny Walker Blue. It looked like there was a sip left.
Yeah, it's like not even a finger.
I didn't feel good about taking the rest of it or the very last of it.
I think I only got a taste of it, so I hadn't actually. I was kind of wanting to
just wet the whistle.
I thought when I picked up this bottle that it was the fancy Japanese whiskey we bought. Mm-hmm.
But I got the Balvenie.
It's Balvenie, and this is disappearing too. Mm. Man, green screen work is tough.
Yeah, we're working our way through the good stuff this Christmas season. Yeah. What else? Oh, I brought in a treat that I thought would be fun. Before we do that, do you want to show off our Christmas record collection, or actually our like some noteworthy buys?
Our Christmas record collection, which is what they all are, except for the Watchmen. Are you familiar with this Watchmen record volumes thing that they've been doing?
Record volumes, the one that Nine Inch Nails, or well,
yeah,
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did, yeah. Or they, it was the Pale Horse, whatever, band.
No, no, that's different. I think
that was the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So Nine Inch Nails was selling this through their website, but they have like three record volumes you could pre-order, and they didn't release any of the tracks or the artwork for it or anything. But they released, or they timed the release of the things for, you know, certain points throughout the season. And I missed out on the first one. I didn't pre-order that in time, but I have the second and the third one.
I think that first one is one you're talking about, Jim.
It's like the worst Kickstarter ever. Like, yeah. We don't have anything to show you. Give us money.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the Pale Horse, I think, may have been the first one. The second one is the American Hero Story soundtrack.
Nice.
From the, like, in-show.
Yeah, it's got a a parental advisory label from the Redford administration. Because obviously we didn't live through the real 90s. Or
what are the things that they advise
you about? Narration by Cheyenne Jackson. Here's the artwork from like...
the actual show.
Stills from the show.
Looks sexy. Looks violent. Looks violent and sexy.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do they advise you?
Yeah, read this album. It's pretty funny.
This content has been deemed satirical by the Redford administration. If the facetious intent of the artist is misconstrued... this material might be harmful to men, women, children, maskophobes, and survivors of the 11-2 psychic shockwave. Consult the Red Code Index.
Mm. Wonder what the fuck that is.
Huh. Yeah, that's cool.
That's very cool.
I like what they're doing with the music in this.
We have been, over the last year or two, amassing a collection of Christmas albums. Most of these we've gotten at yard sales and whatnot for pennies on the dollar. But I think what we paid for a couple of them.
A couple of them, yeah.
Would
that
you like
we just
to show them off?
Had to have. All right. First one, just got this.
Got this week.
This week. Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia Orchestra. We got a freebie. They also, the other cool thing when you buy these old shitty albums is a lot of times they're so cheap that they'll like sandwich it between two other older shittier albums you've never heard of.
That nobody's
like,
going to pay for just yeah. to keep it safe.
Yeah, like they pack records and other records.
Wow.
Get some weird foreign language.
Foreign language, like Hungarian jazz from 1963. It's crazy, but it's cool.
I had that happen when I bought some used video games. So I bought like the boxes and manuals and stuff, but not the game for like NES games. And they would shove a shitty old game in there just to pad it out so it didn't crash. You're having too much fun over there.
I am having so much fun with these ornaments on my face.
You know, I was reading I was reading up on that golden cartridge. And it turns out that's a lot of the ways that people found those. They're like, here's just a pile of old games, and they turned it in to sell it.
Yep.
Don't know what they had.
People didn't know what they had. Yep.
Mm, didn't know what
they
had.
And they sold a $20,000 game for $2.
Yeah.
And a lot.
Next one is Christmas Party with the Pops. Pops, Pops, Pops.
Oh, yeah, the green is being replaced. But this is a good just instrumental album. It's just got, you know... You like
Boston.
Those big Christmas anthems. You like the Nutcracker Suite. You like Carol the Bells. Like you get really good versions of that. And
that's
a nice
bold cover.
Nice. Yeah. What is that? Like 1960 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is old. And these are original. This is something we got out of a yard sale.
1979.
Oh, that's not that old.
Is it like?
He fits over my face.
Is there
perfectly.
Some atmospheric effect at the North Pole that makes like the atmosphere thinner to where the UV affects Santa a little bit more? Because he's looking pretty tan.
He goes all over the world in one night.
That's true. I guess he's spending like at least 8 to 10 seconds in the lower hemisphere, right?
Yeah. He does it so fast that he thinks he doesn't need sunscreen, but he does.
Yeah.
He does. When you get that close to the equator.
It's true.
All right.
The faster you go, the more sun your face collects, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the
wind science. Burn. You hit more protons or something.
Oh, look at this. Look at this son of a bitch.
We got a Christmas pimp here, Mr. Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-Dolly
Kenny
Parton.
Rogers.
Where he really hits his Christmas stride. Nice. Look at this guy at home with his wife and dog.
God, this is his living room, isn't it?
His living room is a... Look at that thing. It's a...
It's an 80s
monument to early 80s, late 70s. To just what do you call that? Baroque?
Atrocious.
Baroque as fuck. I don't.
I like to look at all these pictures.
Wallpaper.
All these pictures of his family next to him.
Uh huh.
I feel like decorating for Christmas is overkill when your wallpaper looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you've already done the heavy lifting.
Right. You've invested full time
this
in Christmas.
This is amazing. Another amazing Christmas album.
Robert Goulet.
Wonderful World of Christmas.
Ooh, all I know about this guy is Will Ferrell's impression of him on SNL.
That's all you need to know.
And yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
This child just looks scared.
What? This is like an he does. Have we ever listened to this album? I don't think we ever have.
No.
We need to fix that this weekend.
Yeah. All right. Classic. Nat King Cole.
Oh, nice. Nat King Cole, another original, another solid thing we rescued from a garage sale or a bookstore.
When did this one come out? I don't know. But
long time
if you have mixed company, you can flip it over to the Fred Waring side.
Yeah.
Exact same album.
Wait, what kind of mixed company are you keeping?
I know, right?
They wouldn't want to listen to Nat King Cole's Christmas
album.
Yeah,
it's like if you're like, you know, in the cool white people in the 50s and 60s, but when you have the relatives over, you want to flip it over to Lawrence Welk.
Right.
You know, you want to bury the Cole lead there.
Mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
This is a fucking Christmas album right here.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
OG Christmas hits and Sinatra singing them well in style.
I usually hear Dean Martin singing Christmas songs, not...
Oh, man.
Oh,
he did a lot, too, and Bing Crosby did a lot. Yeah.
Mistletoe and Holly, I think, is one of the classic
Tony
ones.
Bennett's got a really good Christmas album, but Frank Sinatra, man, that...
We don't own it. Yep.
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Classic Mariah Carey, of course.
The reason they called him the King of Christmas.
Surprisingly Jesus-y. I brought this one because... It's
red.
And I love it for that reason.
Fire Engine Red. Candy Santa Red.
And to round out the colored colored album collection.
Whoa.
I mean, because this one's green.
No, it's transparent.
Is it really?
It's entirely transparent.
No, it's not. It's showing up.
Oh.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
this is another sort of.
So Phil Spector, who is this big Motown producer.
Wait.
Famously,
that
sexually assaulted
and murdered
a woman.
This is that Phil Spector.
He's got a personal greeting for you at the end of the album.
The very end is the creepiest.
Which says he's coming to your house.
Yeah, this album is titled "Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift to You."
Yes.
Oh,
Phil Spector presented us with all these mostly black women.
No, but this album is nothing but bangers.
Oh yeah, it's the best Christmas album ever.
It is amazingly up-tempo, awesome.
Unfortunate presentation.
Who are and plus you'll know everybody. Like this is like all
Darlene
Motown
Love, the Crystals, the Ronettes.
Yeah, you got Stevie Wonder, like young Stevie. No, really? I thought they did.
Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans. That's it.
Good album.
A good album collection.
That's what we've been playing at our Christmas sock hop at our house.
Which is every day. We just start playing albums.
Every day. Okay. What else? I kind of think...
I made a mistake.
Oh, I was burying the lead.
Yeah.
I brought in... I've been threatening to do this for some Christmases now. I had this album
for
a few years before my mom converted, and I had to give it away to my cousin Willie. And Cecily, a couple years ago, bought me the CD re-release of...
It's very, very...
A Christmas in the Stars, Anthony Daniels, C-3PO himself, warbling through a bunch of thinly disguised Christmas classics.
It was very misleading, because it looks... I thought I was buying the... album.
No, yeah,
but
they
it's
swindled
just
you on the
designed to look like the album.
And it has so we're gonna play a selection of this for you, Jim. This is actually Anthony Daniels is credited as well as Ben Burtt styling as RTD2, and there's a surprise celebrity guest that we're gonna talk about here in a minute. Do you want to just do Christmas in the Stars?
Sure. It's gonna require some headphones.
Oh boy, this hat might be a problem.
Go
I think you can
style.
Make it work.
Wear a Lobot style.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay.
Looks like you're ready to coordinate a Stormtrooper rebellion.
I'm ready to scratch.
DJ Lobot!
All right, here we go. Christmas in the Stars.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. That sounds nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn straight, C-3PO.
And copyright strike.
It's okay. We're not making money off this one.
Okay. Is this Anthony Daniels just singing to sing, or is this Anthony Daniels as C-3PO singing?
As C-3PO.
Yeah.
Are you sure there's a difference?
Huh. Excellent point.
All right. Cut it. So that's that. I also want to play...
Number three?
No, let's do the odds. Oh, man. The odds against... Some of this stuff is so fucking cornball. Yeah, the odds against Christmas.
Okay. This little harpsichord.
Yeah. C-3, he's going to slow it down a little bit. Get real.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
In space?
What are the odds?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, deep history cut. Yeah, did you think about that?
Nothing at all.
What? Is he saying like Christmas could have been December 24th?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
The odds against Christmas be Christmas are 365-1.
Okay, so he's not saying.
Never begun. I mean.
So he's not saying we're not going to get Christmas. Just
he's just saying it's very likely it could have never happened at all.
And then how shitty would that have been?
Yeah, I think about that.
Oh, and then who can forget the classic, what can you get a Wookiee for Christmas?
Oh,
parenthetically,
boy.
When he already has a comb.
Jesus.
It's right there in the title. Scarf?
These are droids in Santa's workshop, I think.
Earluff? What did they Earmuffs. Offering him?
Earmuff.
Ear, just one?
Oh yeah.
Of course not. Mm-mm.
Who is singing?
It's really a problem. Right.
Skip it because I think the chorus explains what you actually do. What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas, actually, Jim?
You get him a VR porn station.
You do. You do.
I've seen Star Wars.
Canonically on
special.
Life Day, that's what you present a Wookiee for Christmas. What?
So, yeah, the porn station. I think that's what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
All right, cut it. So you get the Wookiee. The Wookiee doesn't get his fucking medal, and at Christmas he's going to get shafted too because you're just going to give him love and understanding.
We gave you a comb last year. What do you want?
Nothing. That's what we gave him after the Battle of Yavin. Just love and understanding. We're just going to give it to him again and again.
When you give a Patreon creator a dollar, that's what you get. Same thing Chewbacca's going to get.
Okay. And
thoughts
then,
and prayers for Christmas.
Then you want to do the meaning of Christmas, and then I'll reveal the guest, celebrity guest, and then we can get on with lunch.
You're going to reveal the meaning of Christmas?
Reveal the meaning. Yeah, that's the last track. All right, can you pause it for a minute? So there's like a 5-minute tone poem of Anthony Daniels essentially cribbing from The Night Before Christmas, only putting in a Star Wars galaxy where there's this elf called S-Claws. The droids are debating the veracity of his tale as we go in here. All right. Oh, who could it be?
Is it S-Claws?
purposes.
Ooh.
Can we skip ahead to the song now? Yeah, all the droids want to know, what does Christmas actually mean?
Who do you think is singing?
George Lucas.
Close. It's Steven Spielberg. All right, cut this, because this is just like a schmaltz scene. It goes on way too long.
Uh-huh.
This is John Bon Jovi.
John... You're kidding.
Who will later go on to be credited as John Bon Jovi.
Yes.
This is his first studio gig.
Holy
according
shit.
According to Wikipedia and
what
a couple other places.
What year did this album drop?
Oh, man. Like, I don't know. What is the original copyright on this?
1980. Yeah. Damn. I would have thought Bon Jovi toiled away in obscurity a little bit longer, but...
Well, I mean, this is pretty obscure.
Yeah, but like, what, 2 years later, he's going to become a huge success?
Mm-hmm. He's going to take these lead vocal credits on the Star Wars Christmas album, and he's going to parlay that into a quite successful stadium rock tour.
Success breeds success.
Yeah, sure as fuck does. sure as fuck does. So that's Christmas in the Stars. I don't know if it's still available, but if you see it, get it. It's fun for a laugh once or twice a Christmas season.
Nice.
Anybody else have anything they want to show and tell off?
I discovered, well, I've known this for a while, that no-show socks are humanity's worst invention.
I see you struggling over there.
Yeah.
I like them in the summer, though.
The heel always slips off. No matter what you do, the heel slips off.
Have you got the ones that have the ribbed heel? They don't work for you?
I've tried 5 different kinds at this point.
Because they work. If I get the ones that got the ribbed back tab, it doesn't usually sink into the shoe.
Nope. These have the silicone ribs on the back. Mm. It sinks. I found one pair that does not, but it squeezes my foot so hard that I eventually have to take them off because my feet hurt.
Wow, from a sock?
From a sock.
Jesus.
Yeah. Worse than the atom bomb. Worse than the Star Wars holiday special.
That's some deep hurt in what we're talking about there.
Very bad.
Plus, I don't like wearing... I like going to full-length socks or in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because when I'm walking around, that winter cold blows up and, you know... There's no seal between your pant leg and your shoe, and you kind of want that.
Yeah,
wearing those fucking merino, the Omni wool socks I get from Sam's Club. Okay, what are we doing? Are we doing some feeds and questions?
Yeah, if you would like to submit your questions to be considered on the podcast here at lunch, you can do so at forums.baldmove.com or on Twitter with the hashtag baldlunch. We will have one more lunch next Friday.
Yes.
Before winter break. So
yeah.
Yeah. This is it. The first one is from Murder Bear. Okay, Murder Bear says, let's say you're hiking in the woods and you come across this.
What the fuck? Is that a Christmas tree?
Yeah. Are you creeped out? It's perfectly innocent in theory, but something about it puts me off a bit. I don't like it. It looks like someone just decorated one tree in the woods.
I feel like you go to investigate that and Krampus gets you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your parents told you to stay on the trail and you just got let off by Krampus and he's going to put you in his bag and lock you up.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know if it's the tree itself. I think it's like the misty woods
Yeah. The shaft of weird light cutting across the 1/3 mark. That's a bad scene. That's a creepy. If you heard some half speed jingle bells too in the background.
Mm-hmm.
God, geez,
I mean, it's a classic Norwegian Santa trap.
Yes.
You guys familiar with it?
I haven't heard
Norwegian
of Santa,
trap,
Santa
no. traps.
Mm-mm.
Look it up, urbandictionary.com.
Jesus.
Oh, that's where the lady, you take a lady and you put her feet on two different evergreens. And
something.
Yeah, just pine cones involved. It's just better left unsaid.
Uh-huh. All right, well.
Thanks for that, Murder Bear. I won't sleep a wink this Christmas vacation.
then Santa will never bring you presents. Kate on Twitter says, does Lennon or McCartney have the better former Beatles Christmas song? Lennon, best novelty Christmas song, Beach Boys, Little Saint Nick. Or are there songs that... Oh, I'm sorry. That's the second question. You can answer that one first.
Okay, what?
McCartney or Lennon?
Does Lennon or McCartney have the better former Beatles Christmas song?
What? Which are the Christmas songs?
Wait, did Lennon do a duo with the Beach Boys?
No. I think she just named things that she liked.
Oh.
She believes that Lennon has the best novelty Christmas song and prefers the Beach Boys' Little Saint Nick.
Well, what's so
have
let
to
me
refresh
what is,
my memory.
Yeah, what's Lennon's? Because I know McCartney's and it's god awful. So
no.
I think you're thinking
of Lennon's.
No, you're thinking of McCartney.
I'm thinking of
I can't think
wonderful,
of
wonderful simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
A wonderful Christmas.
That's McCartney,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
okay. John Lennon does So This Is Christmas.
Yeah, that's a much better Christmas song.
Definitely.
Still not great because it's kind of like, you know, melancholy and down tempo and, you know, it's like a more
but isn't it about togetherness?
And more of a hang yourself from the highest rafters kind of song.
What?
but then Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas, because that song is deeply in denial about the wonderful Christmas time they're having.
Mm-hmm.
So
Kate also says, are there any songs that work if you change the word Christmas to anything else? Like Wham's Last Christmas wouldn't work.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of things if you changed it to Christmas wouldn't work.
It's beginning to look a lot like Easter.
Yeah. Like, and what do you change it to? Like roast beef? I'll be home for roast beef. If only in Arby's. It works.
It works.
You're right, it does.
Votes are in, it works.
Adobo says, Aaron, my 15-year-old nephew has lately been calling me boomer. Has Jack misapplied this term to you? Please inform him, as I have my nephew, that boomers were ex-hippies who wrecked our economy, and Gen Xers like us are slackers who wore flannel and made everything ironic.
My boy has never called me a boomer, and I would be highly offended if he ever did. Like, maybe you need to check your inner boomer nature, man. Like, why are the kids hitting you up with the okay boomer? Although I asked Jack, and this is obvious, like, do they do that to teachers at school? And he's like, yes, like multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, that's got to be a nightmare. Especially since I've met Jack's teachers. Most of them are younger than me.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, boomer is not an age group. Boomer is a state of mind.
It is. Yeah. It is. Which is why it's not necessarily a slur against old people. It's more of a mentality.
Yeah.
JTK3 says, fun what if holiday question for you. If you could have prime Arnold Schwarzenegger replace one actor for a role, what would it be? You have some choices here. Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation, Marv in Home Alone, Scott Calvin from The Santa Claus, which I imagine is Tim Allen's
character.
That's
Tim Allen's. That would be pretty good.
Uncle Frank in Home Alone also.
Oh, God.
Or Buddy the Elf in Elf. Who would Arnold
Can you imagine
play better?
Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to give Chevy Chase's speech in Christmas Vacation? How many takes would it have taken in his prime to get there?
What are the last two options?
Last two are Uncle Frank in Home Alone and Buddy the Elf.
Buddy Elf would be pretty funny. Like him trying to climb. I'm trying to think of it, like him trying to climb on.
I think Buddy is too nice, though. Right?
You know, Sonny. Corleone's lap and, you know, get all lovey-dovey with him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, the idea of, like, Tyrion Lannister kicking his ass for calling him an elf is super funny.
We got a little bit of that in Jingle All the Way, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go
Buddy?
With that.
All right. What was your final choice?
Yeah, I think Christmas Vacation. Okay. I think that
but
would,
the real
it would
answer,
be so weird. You'd be questioning why the hell... Like, I guess she took a vacation to Europe and to Austria and found this guy and married him, and they came back to the States, and now...
They never explain why Arnold has this outrageous accent.
You're right, they never do.
It's like, he's just American, man.
Jingle All the Way, like, he's the only one.
We didn't used to hate immigrants as much as we did.
Yeah.
I think the real answer, though, is Adrian Brody from Predators.
I would like
you
to
get
Arnold
his ass
there.
Out of there. You put Arnold, and now you got a movie,
especially in his prime. Sure,
because he could do the like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm too old for this shit. I can't believe I'm back here. How did this happen?
Mm-hmm. I might have gone and seen
I
that
dodged
movie
Predator 2, and now I'm back in Predators. How did this happen?
I think I did see that movie, but I've only seen it once, and I remember it being not great.
Nah, I think we did a review of it,
I
right?
Think so.
Just, yeah,
it was way tempted, back.
If you're ever tempted to watch it again, just listen to the, I'm sure, short review.
Yeah.
Fluke says, hello, I'm getting ready to make pretty big direction change in my career, and I think you three may be uniquely qualified to offer some helpful suggestions.
Hello.
I won't bore you with all of the background, but suffice it to say that I work for a medium-sized multinational, about 5,000 colleagues, and I've been at the Canadian HQ in various capacities for 12 years now. In that time, I've always worked either in the field at customer sites or in the office. I'm receiving an offer this week for a new job working for a head office as a business analyst and scrum master. The wrinkle is I'll be working from home.
Scrum master. Wow.
I've done this before, but only for short intervals when I'm just a little sick or when I've needed to be home to meet a contractor for utilities. Casting your memories back to when the Bald Move workspace was just down the hall or stairs, what are your tips and tricks for keeping productive and focused when working at home? Are there any pitfalls I should be on the lookout for? I do have a spouse, kid, and pets who are home during the day.
Well, I mean, I think the real danger is if you work at home, you live at home, you sleep at home, you never get out, and your social life just, and you turn into a forced hermit and get depressed.
Yeah. When I was working at my last job, I worked from home a couple of days a week when I could. But I think the difference is instead of like working on your couch where you watch TV or do fun things or in your bedroom, for instance, you should have a set workspace in like your office when you can walk away from.
Yeah, 100% agree.
And, you know, it's not a bad thing to be distracted. It's a good thing every hour to get up and walk around or do something. But yeah,
I also think that like I mean, all the stuff that they tell you to do, like, you know, get up, take a shower, shave, get
put
dressed,
on real clothes,
you know, all that stuff is very, very important as well, because, you know, it's part of the ritual to put yourself into a mindset that you're going to work. And then it's also important at the end of the day to be able to take off and put on your comfy pants and get a ritual to like ease out, because otherwise the Canadians have it as bad as Americans, but already, like, especially for kind of white collar professionals, the line between home and work is very blurred anyway. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like ritual can help you with that. But
as a scrum master, you're only really going to be working 15 minutes a day, right?
Yeah, you're gonna master that scrum and then fuck off the rest of the time. Then
unless
analyze
scrum,
he's going to analyze some business, Jim. To be fair,
scrum might be some term of art. Like,
you don't know that
for
so
their
that's
particular
like,
business. No, yeah. I know what the scrum, organizational system is, or the meetings that they have.
Yeah, that's I think that's what he's. It sounds like almost a team leader or maybe a project leader. I don't want to call it scrum master.
He called himself a scrum master.
Got himself a scrum master?
Self-professed
scrum master. Flukes.
All right. Vicky says, need a Christmas gift recommendation. It has become kind of a tradition around here that I get my significant other a bottle of something y'all have really enjoyed drinking during the Christmas lunches. I am 2 for 2 on the Invergordon and Signet.
Oh, shit.
What was that batch one? Wondering if maybe that one is still available. Any others you recommend?
The batch one? I think you're talking about the Invergordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that boutique whiskey company, Batch 9. It was the Invergordon 25 year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've already done that one. Those are like two really, really good ones.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had anything that really compares to, that is on the same level with those two.
Yeah. Because they're supposed to, it's like, so, like, you've got on because these are not like, I guess they are. Would you? They're not heavy, peaty, smoky, but they're also very sweet.
Because
I'm trying to think, it's like, you know, if you want to go away from that, you could try like Lagavulin, which is like the most Scotch there is.
The 16 year.
Yeah. And that would be nice.
I wonder if I've learned more about running a business or more about whiskey doing Bald Move.
Probably running a business. I still feel like I know a lot about whiskey. Because, you know, the thing that the sad truth is you can go spend $100 on bourbon or scotch and it's going to be a good time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go wrong with almost anything. I guess, like, think about the flavor profile and then look that your spouse, is that right?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Enjoys. And then go on the internet and they have these charts that you can look up, which tell you sort of the flavor profile, whether it's light, whether it's dark, whether it's smoky, whether it's sweet.
The thing that really sets these apart that I haven't quite found in a lot of other scotches is the mouthfeel. Like, it's so velvety.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking smooth that, and while still being very powerful, I mean, both of these are like 49, 50% alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Yeah, they're incredible. But
sorry.
I haven't seen, because like we are a little bit thin this Christmas season because, you know, we hired a new employee. I don't know if you heard that. She's on a probationary period. So yeah, we decided not to spend. And we also wanted to buy these ornaments so we could have them in stock. So we decided not to spend big on booze because we also had a shit ton of like premium booze left over from last year. So it's like, you know. We tighten our belts a little bit this year, so I don't have any crazy thing that I've tried recently to recommend. I feel like
we should have spent on the booze, Jim. I like
we let a club member down. She's gonna quit the club.
get a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle.
Buy a bunch of little airplane bottles so that way your spouse can just try a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I mean that's actually a great idea. Those advent calendar things that we did, like you get your spouse an advent calendar full of booze. Whether it's scotch, whether it's bourbon, a mix of whiskeys, whatever, they'll be happy with that. Because even if it's not like, oh, well, you got me one that I really love, there's probably like, they'll discover three in there that they like.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how prevalent those absinthe kits are, too. Because that's something you could do fun. You get them a nice bourbon and then mason jar one of those absinthe kits and make him bourbon absinthe.
That's a great idea. The next question is from Caleb Thrower. Have any of you ever done a fitness-based video game for your exercise routine? I recently started doing Ring Fit Adventure for the Switch, and I've been surprised at the level of workout I can get away with, or I can get with it.
Yeah.
It also adds in an RPG element to promote daily play, which is effective motivation.
I watched Abby on Giant Bomb play that.
Ring Fit Adventure.
It looks like a hell of a workout, actually.
Nice.
And I was considering getting it. It's like $80 on the Switch, but
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, because it comes with a ring that you squeeze and stretch and twirl.
The previous feedbacker questioner, if you want to try that, a really good absinthe kit, in my opinion, is the Lugaru Alchemy website. It's Lugaru. That's the one we got.
Yeah.
And the Dread Pirate Roberts is very, very good. It's very kind of warm and spicy, and it goes really well with a bourbon. You get that pouch, and then you get a bourbon, and you get a mason jar, and you throw it in there for 90 days, and that'd be something fun to try.
All right. I went back to this question. Have you ever used a Wii, maybe not Wii specific, any kind of like video game fitness?
I tell you what, man, I lost some weight doing Dance Dance Revolution one year. I got the dance pad for the PS2, I think it's PS2 back then, and that gets you moving. And same thing with like my sister's what is that thing game where it uses the Xbox like magic eye to like judge your dance routine?
Eye.
Yeah, what is that? Is that Dance Revolution?
Dance one party? Of those dance games.
Dance
yeah.
or die.
Yeah, that's fun. Like, she hauls that out sometimes when we go and we all take turns dancing, and like I challenge my nieces to a dance off. And that, like, anything that gets you moving that intense for a set of time is, you know, it's aerobic activity. So I don't think I've ever done like a Wii Fit specifically, but I've definitely played games that have got my blood pumping. And yeah, like one summer I lost like 15 pounds just playing DDR.
Really?
Yeah.
I tried to get into DDR. Didn't really work.
What happened?
Well, I kind of bought one of the shitty dance pads for 360, and like they're not fun to use. They don't register half of your steps, and you really got to get either a really nice pad for your house or
I got one of the $100 like rigid pads.
Yeah. I didn't have that. I had one of the shitty cloth or whatever, yeah, plastic pads. Yeah.
But there was a place in Plainfield where I did a lot of my playing just there, because for $5 I could, yeah, play for an hour, and I'd go there after work, and there was like no one else there. And, you know, at that point I was like a late 20s chubby dude and I didn't need the audience. So yeah, I'd sit there and I'd play DDR for an hour or so and then go home.
Yeah.
That's fun. Jay Brown. First lunch question. Woo. I've been reading up on HBO Max and it seems pretty impressive. It's on the pricey side, but the content seems to warrant the cost. This had me thinking on all the streaming services I subscribe to and if they're worth the money. In terms of content, which would you say are the top services you use? And if you had to cut a few, which would you choose? Sad to say, but I find myself almost never using Netflix anymore.
Wow. Same here. Like, I'm less and less on Netflix. It might have to do with what we're watching, but HBO value for dollar to me, yes, is by far the best deal.
Yes.
Every single show they make is excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. And I watch a lot of movies on HBO.
Yeah.
They constantly
have new
great
movies.
Documentaries. Yeah. Yep. HBO is a phenomenal value because almost everything is worth watching if you're at all interested in the subject matter. Yep. I think Netflix is still an incredible value.
Oh, yeah.
And I watch a lot of Netflix. And then, like, because I don't count Amazon because I get it with Prime. So it's
same
like,
here.
It's not great, but I find I'm using it more and more.
Yeah. Expanse. I'm watching Mr. Robot. I'm watching Rick and Morty all on Amazon Prime because they
also,
do the next day.
Yeah. Expanse, yeah, as you said, just dropped. And
yeah,
they had The Boys this year. Fleabag, yep, was amazing. I'm glad I got to see that. So
you're into alternate history, Man in the High Castle, I hear, is pretty, mm-hmm, good.
So there's some good stuff. I think, and then you got like, you start getting into like Hulu.
I like Hulu a lot.
I like Hulu a lot too, and they got a lot of,
I just don't watch anything on Hulu.
Yeah, I mean, they got like, that's where if you want to watch like, I think The Good Place, it used
Handmaid's
to be the Rick
Tale
and Morty thing. They also have Saturday Night Live the next day.
They also have a surprising number of movies,
yeah,
that you can watch there.
And we really liked it. They had some really good, like Harlots was really good. What's, mm-hmm, that Edie Bryant one? Shrill.
Shrill.
Shrill is pretty good. They've got some really good like short series too there.
Yeah.
But then once you get past that, then it gets pretty fucking niche-y pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, for me, if I was going to cancel everything and keep one, it would be HBO.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And with Max, it's just an even better deal now because the price didn't go up,
mm-hmm,
but the content did.
So. Do you get all the Cinemax stuff with HBO Max? You probably
not that I'm aware of.
Because like that,
I don't really watch
better.
Anything on Cinemax though.
No, but there's like a stuff that like if you had never gotten, I think a lot of people have never gotten Cinemax because it's kind of like the lower tier thing. And there's, yeah, a lot of good shows like Strike Back, Banshee,
Red Shoe Diaries. That's Showtime, I think.
What was the one about the hospital? The Nick. There's a lot of stuff.
That was Showtime.
There's
that
a good
Showtime.
Month or two of content just on Cinemax that's worth plowing through if you've never seen it. So.
Everything you mentioned is on Showtime. Every single thing.
That's not true. Okay. Oh, I was gonna say. I was like, is it?
No.
We could have convinced him.
Yeah.
Damn. I should have gone.
Because like, I'm trying to think if I've watched anything on Showtime.
Penny Dreadful.
Was that on Showtime? Okay, that and like Masters of Sex.
Yeah.
But like in the in Bald Move history, I think there's only been two shows on Showtime.
Man.
It's got to be the worst value.
Party Down was on Showtime. That was a really good show.
Yeah. I mean, everything's got
Boardwalk
shit
Empire
that's
was
good.
On Showtime?
No.
It's HBO.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I watched was on Showtime that was big.
What?
I watched something on Showtime that was big.
Homeland was on Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Homeland too. Okay, Homeland's good too.
Yeah.
All right. Showtime makes the
gotta
cut again.
Gotta keep them all. Spend $300 a month on streaming. And don't forget your $5 a month on
Amazon
Club.
Had Homecoming, which is fucking
amazing. Amazon
it's
had,
CMS
okay,
mail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're into Mr. Robot and you haven't heard us talk about it on the podcast, CMS mail. I got like 5 hours of sleep last night. I'm
same.
That's fine. I'm tired. Tired.
Probably less. I stayed way too late reading Wormhammer. I had to get up.
Wormhammer.
Yeah,
it's been
I was
way
excited,
too late
though.
Playing Pokemon again.
It's my Jack. So I don't know if I said this on lunch though. My son joined the swim team.
Oh yeah,
and
tell us what jammers are.
Jammers,
I didn't know this term.
Jammers are like form fitting, very tight swimsuits, but they go. I think that the separates this jammers from the Speedo, which is a brand, but is the fact that it goes from hip to knee.
Okay.
So it's kind of like
just like regular like shorts, only tight. Yeah, like biking
like
shorts.
Bicycle shorts that have a lot that have lining in them to keep your balls from showing. sure. But they've been practicing for this a whole last month, and you know, Jack is like his dad. He's a chubster, but super cute. And he was worried that he'd like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm too fat for this. I'm like, nah, don't worry about that. Because the thing is he's fast.
He's got this really unique body type where he's a big guy, but he's not like jelly. It's all like, yeah. He's solid. Yeah.
Like he's a solid fucking plug of muscle with a solid layer of fat over it. And he's very fast in the water. And I've worked on him swimming ever since he's born, and he can hold his breath for over a minute. So I knew that he would probably do well in this, and he, on his backstroke heat, he came in third out of six lanes, which I thought was pretty for his first year swimming. And he's already learning so much. Like they taught him how to do like the fancy spin kicks, like the turn around, you know, how the Olympians do like the somersault flip.
Yeah.
And like how
they were a combination karate and swim class,
which he could do too.
Yeah, he could do. He
was in karate last year.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool seeing all these teams. Like some of these kids are so fucking fast already. Like the ones you can tell they've been doing it for a long time. Like you know, like
14-year-olds who walk out with that perfect like Michael Phelps triangle shape,
right?
And their upper torso, it's like
yeah, and they're doing like
you've been training for a long time.
Professional form butterflies and breaststrokes and it's fun.
Yeah.
I forget what I was saying. Oh yeah, because I was tired. I was kind of amped up from the competition, and and then I was, like I said, stayed up way too late reading my Warhammer book.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
I'm shame reading my Warhammer book. I almost brought it in because every time I get to a particularly egregious paragraph, I'm highlighting it and saving it as a note so like I can come in and be like, listen to this.
Should do
shit.
A review.
Yeah,
should do just a one-off review
because it's just so fucking wrestler opera. Kind of like that level of everything is like just so fucking man, and yeah, it's a lot.
Sounds bad.
I'm having a lot of fun with it though.
Cool.
I giggle a lot.
Opus Who. This is certainly a sad day for the state of podcasts, but I have been asked to co-host an episode of a Lost Rewatch podcast this week.
Who is this?
Opus Who.
Oh.
I've never been on the mic for that long before. With The Expanse and Watchmen slated to take out my weekend, I now have to get balls deep into two episodes of Lost. Mm-hmm. Any advice for the most basic level of not sounding like a complete douche? This is going to be with Jack of Jay and Jack fame. So
holy shit.
You're kidding.
Easygoing on people, but I'm still nervous.
Opus, who the fuck are you?
Well, I guess we'll find out in the
Jay
next
and
episode.
Jack? That's cool. I met them in a,
they've been doing
a
like
bar
a,
in San Diego one time.
A Lost Rewatch podcast.
They've been doing that
They have been doing the Lost Rewatch podcast for 10 years.
Really?
They
keep rewatching it over and over?
They do some Lost stuff. They've really expanded their network. They do probably 30 different podcasts with 15 different hosts. And they currently have a rewatch going.
Cool. Well,
so it's kind of cool because they interview... like somebody who was sort of into the Lost fandom or like is around podcasting and Lost stuff on their Lost podcast, on their rewatch. So they have them, they did, for instance, they did, I'm blanking
on her
name
shit?
Now.
Who would listen to that?
For Mischief Management.
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa, yes, Anelli, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had her on for one of the episodes, and they talked about Harry Potter and how she got her start, and then they talked about an episode of Lost, and it was really cool. If you guys aren't Jay Jack fans and you're into Lost and want to relive the glory days, they're doing it.
I know there's a lot in the audience that fit those bills.
They do like Lost, yes.
What was Opus actually wanting
to help
was, with?
Any advice for the most basic level of not sounding like a complete douche on
take
the podcast?
Notes. Take notes while you're watching.
Watch the mouth sounds.
Read. So I, you
Stay
know, also
hydrated.
Just go back and read a lot of coverage of the episode, like a know, contemporaneous coverage to kind of get what people were saying and like where, you know, like that's because you're just trying to, what you're trying to do is tell people something that they don't know already listening to the podcast. So, and to do that, you kind of, you know, go and try to come up with your own thoughts and then also try to find really good ones from other people. And, try not. The other is like, you know, I guess if I was going to be on Jay and Jack's show, I would like try to just find out where I fit in. You know, like, cause like anytime I'm on a show for the first time, I try to kind of hold back and like find my, pick my spots. Cause you don't want to talk over the main host, I guess.
Yeah. You try to talk over anybody in a podcast.
Yeah. Don't do what I do. Like every fucking says like I just did.
I think we both have similar like periods of time. We wait before saying the next sentence.
Yeah.
And that gets in trouble a lot. I would say when Jack does a crackpot theory, which he's almost certainly going to do in your episode, just have a vicious okay boomer waiting for him. Just spring an okay boomer trap right on Jack.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Going to end the whole network.
Awesome. Well,
in this whole man's career, the well-placed okay boomer. You would say that, okay boomer.
Good luck, Opus. Sounds fun. A cinema stare says, my fiance or affiance, as Cecily would say, and just did. I had recently finished our rewatch of Seinfeld.
Wow. That's a big rewatch.
When watching the episode where George tries to leave his work meeting after saying his best line, this got me thinking, what was your greatest mic drop moment?
The jerk store episode? Yeah.
Mine would have to be in 2000 when I was talking to my friends about my internship at Disney World the semester before that. I told them how the apartment complex where we all stayed at was voted the number two place in the country to get laid at in Playboy, since it was all a bunch of college kids in one apartment complex. I had a serious long-distance relationship during my time there, so did not get to experience that. However, my friend started to tease about how I never get laid there. He then asked what the number one place was. Without even thinking, I go, your mom's house, and all of our friends erupted in oh, damn moment. Mic dropped.
Yep. That's good. Shit, I don't know.
Good mic drop moments?
There's so many. I'm dropping dropping mics left and right.
I feel like you're much quicker in the moment.
Quick with a mic drop?
Oh, I got a funny one.
Go for it.
Can I do this?
To who? To me?
Yeah.
Oh, is this the...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. You can tell the story. Can I set you up?
Yeah, that's fine.
We were in bed one night, and I was reading articles on human sexuality, like I do. And this was about, like, you know, guys with unusual, like legitimate micro penises. And it's just interviewed with the guys and the girls and, like, the struggles and, you know, whether it's a big deal and couples have made it work. And it's, like, just really kind of, like, you know, a lot of stuff that I never really thought about. And afterwards, I read it and I said, I wonder, you know, Cecily's had a lot of sex. I'm sure she's had a pretty good sample size. So I turned to her, I said, Cecily, have you ever had a relationship with a guy with like a really small penis?
And
And I said, yeah, I have.
And I said, really? How did it go?
I said, I married him.
Yeah, but that like just deadpan right back, I married him. And like it was the fucking funniest thing. Like, we were both howling with laughter.
You set yourself up for that.
I did. And I would have been an asshole not to have taken it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, I am, with Cecily, I'm really gullible and like oblivious. Like, I always think I had never, she's got this extremely dry sense of humor a lot of times, and like I'll think she's being serious, and then like I'm two or three sentences into like what I me taking her seriously, and I realize, oh no, she's a fucking joker.
I'm a fucking clown. That's me. That was a fun one.
Mm-hmm. good mic drop at my expense.
Mm-hmm. You guys think of any in the meantime?
I'm sure. Man, there have been so many, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a lot more pugilistic verbally. I've kind of calmed way down. But yeah, like back in high school and like earlier life, where I was a lot sharper with my tongue. And I felt like I got the better of people a lot, but I can't remember any of them, really good ones.
I like looking to Jim for a reaction.
Because you know what that thing's going to be doing on his head.
Fida says, what podcast names are you most proud of? And which ones did you think were clever but didn't land? You can see it better this way.
You can. I just look like a...
Oh, he's wearing his rig fore and aft. Shipped fore and aft now. No longer athwart ships.
I'm really proud of,
I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Penny Earful, the name of our Penny Dreadful podcast.
Penny Earful is such a bad, perfect name.
Penny Earful. Plus, I love the art on that. That was great. God damn it. Fucking show got canceled right out from under us.
What was the question? I missed it.
What podcast names are you most proud of? And which ones did you think were clever but didn't land?
I think Two-Bit Encryption is fucking hilarious.
Two-Bit Encryption is our cleverest.
It's funny, and it's like funny like three different times. Like it's just funny sounding like Two-Bit, like it's like a Two-Bit podcast. And then when you actually think about Two-Bit Encryption,
how worthless it would be.
Yeah, like it's hilarious. It's really funny. It's really funny.
Black Oil and Bee Stings.
Black Oil and Bee Stings.
It's a ridiculous name for an X-Files podcast.
It's pretty good. Yeah, fuck it. Let's just open up the podcast.
Everybody Loves there. Reagan?
Everybody Loves Reagan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
True Blood Authority was pretty on the nose.
Authority.
Belt of Load. I mean, there's a... Yeah, I mean... let's see. Following the left of... We Do. I kind of like We Do.
Yeah.
Har Har Riverdale and Rah Rah Riverdale.
That was a good combo.
Taken as a combo is pretty fucking good.
What's Cooking in Hell's Kitchen? The short-lived Daredevil podcast was actually pretty good.
It's fun.
For a badass, like, cool, I think The World We Deserve, the name for our True Detective podcast is really fucking sick.
I don't think we were the only ones to come up with that either. I think there were like two or three. Were there?
We had to be the first one, because I'm pretty good about searching for that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
We've had some good ones. We've had a lot of like fucking generic shit too, but
yeah, Justified podcast,
Fargo
podcast,
Black Oil,
Game of
Beast
Thrones
Stings.
Podcast. Mm-hmm.
Man, we had 24. That was such a great podcast.
It's fun.
The President Grandpa Power Hour would have been a
what do we call that?
The
we
GPPH just, called it... just 24. Yeah,
boy, we're really. We're phoning it in that day.
Do you guys have any names you can think of that you really liked but didn't end up in the final cut?
Were there a few that we...
I know there were a bunch. There were a bunch for even just the most recent Watchmen.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what they were.
Because a lot of the good ones already been taken for Watchmen.
Yeah.
Because people were, you know, started camping that out early. And, you know, also it had a really good... It had a, you know, all-time classic comic book run back in the day. And then for the last 10 years, there's been a Watchmen project over at DC. There's actually a current one going on right now, like a Worlds Collide DC Watchmen universe kind of thing.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the competition was steep there.
Our most intentionally uninspired name, I think, is Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah.
We knew that we wanted to kind of... monopolize the search results on that.
Plus, we joined in at season four, so
right,
like, and we had the Night's Watch, which was a really good podcast.
It was, yeah. And then by the time we came around in season four to renaming a new podcast,
everything was gone. Yeah,
we're just like, screw it, Game of Thrones podcast,
run it down your throats.
Svensson says, "I got a new phone this week for the first time in at least 3 years. I typically take very good care of my electronics and rarely have to replace them due to damage. Can the three of you join me in this humble brag? Or are you constantly breaking your phone screen like the rest of America?"
No,
I've never broken a phone. I've never lost a phone either.
Somebody yesterday was taking video of me, next to me at the meet, and her screen was completely shattered. And I'm like, Jesus. Because, yeah, I always put my phone in a case. I usually get a screen protector for it, and I don't take special care of it. I sit on my phone all the time, which they say you're not supposed to do. I keep it in my back pocket constantly, and I drop it not frequently, but like, you know, regularly, like every other month or so. And I've just had, I guess, good luck with it. But I don't usually buy like phones when they come out. So like the ones that are like infamous for crumpling, you know,
or the warping, like the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I haven't gotten a run afoul of, but yeah, I've actually, I had my last phone for 3 years before I traded in for Cecily's 3-year-old. She handed me down her Pixel XL, and I'm rocking that now.
Yeah, I only upgraded the phone because I wanted a new phone.
It was working.
Otherwise, I could have used that forever, I think. I think some phones were just made to break. Like, when I was carrying around my phone and a work phone, which was an iPhone, and I had a screen protector and a case around it, and I use it about the same way, if not less, than my actual phone. And by the time I was time to turn it back in, the screen protector had a crack and a little chip out of the corner of it.
Yeah, I've done that with screen protectors, but never a screen.
Mm-hmm. But I've never done that to like my primary phone screen protector.
Huh.
I don't know.
I will say on the last question, Mutiny Community is a pretty damn good name for Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Eric and I covered Halt and Catch Fire season 3 under that name.
Did our Legion podcast have a fun name? Or was it
I don't
just
think
Legion?
So. I think it was just the Legion podcast.
Yeah, just Legion podcast.
Yeah.
TPO Dom says, Cecily, I think you mentioned you were watching Outlander on one of His Dark Materials podcasts. If so, any chance of an Outlander cast with you and Alexis? It's been fun listening to you cover Dark Materials. I tried a couple of the existing Outlander podcasts. They're kind of annoying.
I can imagine.
Especially ones with the listener voicemail. Oh, my God.
Don't
listener
do
voicemail. Please.
It's a bad idea.
Nobody likes it. Nobody likes doing it.
Jason does it, but he listens and edits it ahead of time. Because,
so much work.
Yeah.
Right, I got to edit professionals and
say
a
last
bunch of people
night,
who just are
right
stream of consciousness. Nobody thinks about what they're going to say before they call in and leave
and
a voicemail.
That's fine. Like, they're callers. They're not professionals. Like, but... they're not professionals, so you have to edit that stuff so heavily.
Last night we were watching The Christmas Prince 2, the Royal Wedding. Now
Jesus.
I've seen all the Christmas Princes. I'm completely up on my Christmas Princes. But when we logged in, like Netflix shows us new shit, and it showed that it's like new episodes of Outlander.
They just dropped the third season of Outlander.
Like she like made this keening scream. Yeah, she's ready for some more Outlander.
Yeah, they just dropped season 3 on Netflix. I think that's
that show
a
seems
Showtime
scandalous as fuck,
show
man,
or something.
The way you talk about it.
Yeah, I think it is Showtime.
It's fucking nuts.
It's, people love it because it's a period piece and
it's like
sexy,
a living
right?
Harlequin romance.
Yeah.
But boy, howdy, some of the things, I don't know how they get away with it. In fact, I don't know that they do because there's a lot of rape.
And very varied rape. Boy, man.
There's a
rape,
little boy, man on rape. Man rape.
Sadomasochism.
There's the rape that the victim ends up enjoying, so it's kind of like, oh, what am I supposed to be feeling?
Yeah,
Game of Thrones did it.
There's makeup sex after the rape. It's wild.
Wow.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah,
wow.
When she tells me this, I'm like, and you like this.
An Oliver Twist moment in the rape scene? That's not good.
You sure can have another.
No good.
I like it because, I don't know, it's generally well acted and it's beautiful and they're on location for a lot of things. And when it is sexy, it is.
Because I watched most of the first season. When it is sexy, it is pretty sexy.
And it's one of those shows where they cast all the actors that are just gorgeous. They're the most amazing things to look at.
So it's one of those, like Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the exception of Paul Giamatti.
Like, even the ugly people are pretty type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It would be fun to podcast, but it just couldn't be. It would be on the level of like True Blood or American Horror Story. You couldn't take it seriously.
That's my favorite type of podcast.
Yeah.
We need to find some garbage television to podcast
I don't,
on, man.
Go back to Riverdale.
No,
it's not garbage. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I want like some kind of garbage. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I watch a lot
early
of medium
season
garbage.
Star Trek type of garbage.
Voyager. We should go through all of Voyager.
Oh, man, that would be so much fun to just savage it.
Yep.
Jesus. Yeah.
Extreme Steve says, now that I'm well into my 30s, I'm regularly experiencing the joy of being oblivious to some of the trends and practices of the current day. Most recently, the surprise has taken place when the self-checkout machine required ID to buy toilet bowl cleaner for reasons that escape me.
What?
And that a coworker of mine could not stop laughing upon seeing a container of cornstarch in my kitchen. Apparently, there is a use other than making soup and gravy I'm missing.
What?
Have you had any experiences like this? No. And what's the best way to react when you're caught completely ignorant of a recent societal development? I think Jim is an example of
you just blew my fucking mind. Cornstarch has another use?
Yeah, Jim's about 5 years away from being a boomer himself.
Absolutely. Is this a cornstarch enema?
I'm not aware of this cornstarch thing either.
Aaron might have a theory that a lot of male sex toys are made out of like pure silicone. And silicone, if you dust it with like a talc or a cornstarch, has a very pleasant kind of like skin type feel. But if you do not, it feels like a squid flesh. So a lot of, like, for example, your fleshlights will have instructions that once you wash and thoroughly dry it, to like pat it with a little bit of cornstarch to give it that silky best. And I think real dolls are the same way.
How many squids have you fucked?
The number's not zero, Jim. You know, had some, you know, those squids are smart enough to express consent, turns out. Work out an alphabet system, and you can tell it's that they're ready to go.
Unlike the characters on Outlander.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. And what was the other trend?
Huffing toilet bowl cleaner. I assume.
I think the toilet bowl cleaner plus aluminum foil plus 2 liter bottle is bomb. I think that's probably more than huffing, because I think you'd die from huffing. The works, for example.
I mean, there's a lot of shit you can die from that people do, sure, like eating Tide Pods.
But I mean, like huffing gasoline is like certainly dangerous, but it's not like hydrogen chloride gas or whatever. Like some stuff is like, you know, super lethal. But I think it's more of like, yeah, you can build a pretty, I mean, it's not very explosive or destructive bomb, but it fucking, if you ever hear one go off near you, you'll think it's a much larger bomb. So it's probably that. Like, you can't buy spray paint anymore without ID. I found that out a couple of months ago. I think both for huffing and graffiti purposes.
Just bought spray paint not too
long
ago.
You can't buy BBs.
Oh, Jesus.
I was surprised that you have to show ID to buy BBs.
Why?
Because you can shoot them out of a gun, I guess. But, like, holy shit. I certainly never had to, you know, show ID to buy BBs from my local department store. Anyway,
CJD says, seeing as our own mini Trump just won a landslide victory, can you send some love and positive vibes to all us UK folks?
I was going
to
say, you must live in the UK.
Boy, it's a real eye opener, man, because you can. I don't know, because like the thing is Trump is like polling underwater right now. And the people that thought Labor had a chance at winning, I have felt for weeks, if not months, were kind of like delusional, because like all the polling was like in favor. And I thought that Labor Party, you know, not that I'm an expert in UK politics, made a lot of strategic and tactical errors in the last few months. But man, yeah, that's I mean, you guys got your second referendum on Brexit, and the Brits are really fucking horny for it. And I saw this morning the Scottish MP has already said that, like, this is bullshit and we want to go. Like, there's a lot of discussions in Ireland happening. Like, let's fucking unify this island and get the fuck out of. Man, I everything I've read and learned on the subject seems like this is a really bad idea, and it's going to be very bad for the British people. But
yeah. You're gonna be real sad when you get,
like, the majority of, you know, clear majority of people wanted it this way. And it's sobering, because I could see something like that happen in 2020, and Jesus.
Just wait until you get 200% tea taxes and you got nothing to dip your crumpets in.
I do think there's some.
You're gonna be pissed off.
So what do you
That's
think?
How you start in America.
one of the more hysterical takes is
throw
that,
those,
like,
crumpets in the river.
You don't want an America, do you? Because that's how you get an America.
I think they've already got an America. It's a problem.
Yeah.
What were we saying? Sorry.
I was saying that, like, I saw that, like, in the last few weeks that the Labour Party leaked some documents and made it indicated that the Tories were going to try to shop out NHS to American companies, the National Health Services.
Weird.
I mean, surely they're not, like, because I think that people are like, oh, well, we're going to lose NHS within, like, 10 years. I feel like that it would be interesting to see if they tried that, because I feel like it'd be kind of like the way Republicans went to try to repeal Obamacare and found out that, like, everybody likes, even as shitty as Obamacare is, everybody likes the fact that pre-existing conditions can't fuck you anymore.
Yes.
That you can cover your children until they're 26. That, you know,
people are born with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That the insurances can't just decide that, like, hey, you know, we paid $100,000 on you. It's time for you to get a new insurance plan. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people, if you don't like the being forced to buy insurance, you know, like the government providing, you do like the regulations. And I imagine that, like, from what I understand of the British people's relationship with the NHS, it would be almost political suicide to rip that out. Huh. But I don't know. Yeah, everything I've read seems like it's really bad economically and a lot of other ways. But yeah, I feel for you.
Thoughts and prayers.
Had my share of political frustrations in the last 10 years myself, so.
Yeah.
Tulip Blossom says, what is your favorite Christmas cookie? Mine is the Hershey Kiss cookies, but instead of a normal Hershey Kiss, I use the peppermint ones. Or any other favorite holiday foods?
Mine are the ones Cecily makes, which are like a s'more chocolate chip cookie. It's essentially a chocolate chip cookie with real Hershey bars and marshmallows.
Yeah, it's like you put a chocolate chip cookie on top of a graham cracker, and then you push a little square of Hershey bar in there.
But you also whip some marshmallows in there, too.
Yeah, I do.
And it's just like, oh, God, it's so... And you must put something else, because there's a little bit of cinnamon, kind of. Like, it's like a little Christmas spice. And it just... That's my... That's what I think of as Christmas cookies
now.
Bit
of MDMA. And...
yep. Yep.
And it's the best.
It's the best.
Christmas cookies? I don't really eat cookies at all. Sometimes when my wife makes them, but... I discovered a new Christmas treat this year that I should have discovered a long time ago. But
cherry,
it's peppermint
cordials.
Peppermint hot cocoa.
Oh yeah, peppermint schnapps in the hot cocoa.
Yeah, throw the peppermint schnapps.
All right,
and
I guess next discover level. A new one.
Yeah, I put a shot of peppermint schnapps in a hot cocoa.
Because that was gonna be my other thing. Is like I just like the Christmas booze, but yeah.
Now you have both. What do we call that? We call every Christmas drink a hot toddy, even
yeah.
if they're not.
Oh. We do call them
I've
like
had
the
an
hot
actual
toddy.
Hot toddy. They're delicious.
Isn't it like apple cider and whiskey or something? Like
that? Yeah. And a little bit of
cinnamon clove.
I think it's cinnamon, yeah.
Yeah.
We did basically a white Russian with Bailey's Irish cream and nutmeg on top, and that
Holy
was
shit.
Delicious.
White Russian with eggnog.
The eggnog space,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, put a little shot of brandy in there. It's pretty.
Yeah, we've been just doing straight up eggnog with some brandy. We've been Are you a brandy drinker at all?
I've had it. It's okay.
We've been experimenting with finding one we like that isn't Douce, because it's good, but it's really expensive because it's popular.
Is that Jay-Z brand? Yeah. Jay-Z brand, yeah.
Yeah. Some Cavassier. So where were we talking about? Your Christmas
favorite Christmas cookies and foods.
Oh, also you make the Jesus tits.
Oh, I do make Jesus tits, which are becoming really popular now.
Wait. Explain.
Jesus tits are where you take a circular pretzel and you bake a little a Hershey Kiss in the middle for like 30 seconds in the oven.
Okay.
And then you take an M&M and you push it down in the middle.
Okay, I'm getting the tits.
Yeah.
Where's the Jesus?
They're really tasty.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas
like,
time.
Jesus Christ,
like
this is a good cookie. I asked her one day. Okay. I asked because she's making a bunch, and I was like, eating, you know.
what are these called?
And I'm like, I did. I literally say, what do you call this? And she goes, Jesus tits. And that's what they've been called ever since.
That's what they are known as.
We need to release a cookbook next year.
Yeah.
Holiday cookbook.
I was thinking holiday cookbook or...
Cecily's made a compelling case for a bald move calendar.
Bald move calendar.
Okay. It would basically be the Christmas card times 12.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But the pictures of us like in front of the mics, playing a video game, playing board games.
That's
like,
a really
just,
good idea.
Like, yeah. You could do a lot with it. Like at the theater, like ever this, like each month is a little different adventure with Jim and Aaron.
Love it.
And Cecily and Alexis.
The whole family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
get the pets involved. You got Aria is good for at least one fucking month. She's at least good for that much.
Just one pet, and she's pretty trash.
Not for long. I don't know. Lex is talking about getting a cat, and
she loves cats.
She loves cats. I know. It's tough.
Go with her. Hey, go find one. So here's because I'm allergic to cats too.
Yeah.
And when I went,
how are you managing?
Huh?
How are you managing?
I take a lot of... No, so what I did is when I went to go adopt a cat, I took every cat that she thought was cute and I put it up in my face. And the first cat that I put up in my face and inhaled, and I didn't instantly break like my...
And then he just did this.
Yeah, and then I just put it right into the fixating box if I didn't like it.
Burned it.
The Schrodinger's box. I mean, it wasn't that harsh.
It's like Watchmen, you know? It's like, your eyes got red and itchy. Okay, throw it in the box. And I did
so
that,
vague.
And like I say...
And then you set the box on fire so you'd never have to know if they were alive or dead.
Yeah, and they won't ever make anyone else break out either.
Because it is, like, there are some cats that are more hypoallergenic than others, and I know that like females, like I think short hair are less and then you just find one that like doesn't set you off, and
I would get the no hair, but they're ugly.
They're ugly. Very ugly. Jesus.
Extraordinarily ugly.
Are you allergic to dogs?
I don't think so, because I lived with two dogs before, and they didn't really affect me.
The problem with dogs is
does our cat really affect you?
I'm not in the house long term, but yeah. A little bit. Like, I went over to my brother's house, and, well, this was two times ago. It's no longer like this, but his girlfriend was breeding cats, and so Jesus. They had, like, six of them. So I go over there, and I immediately started having an allergic reaction.
This sounds like a fucking Always Sunny thing. Yeah. Like Frank would get up to, breeding cats. Absolutely. Me and Charlie are breeding cats.
Yeah.
I'm kind of allergic to my cat, too. And she'll come up to me in the morning and just, like, rub herself against my face to wake me up. And I just push her away. And if it happens, then I start sneezing. But pretty much, I don't know, get over it.
We're going to have to buy furniture once a year.
No.
Because they destroy.
They do. Just let them destroy furniture. And keep that furniture like we do.
I've seen you guys try and, like,
repair that
corral Aria. Mm-hmm. Like, you've had, how long have you had Aria?
Seven years.
Yeah.
Seven years. And she still jumps up and tries to get food. Yep. She still claws the furniture and the carpets.
Yep.
And
she's a, like, there's no way to tame a cat. Trash gremlin.
No, she's a willful beast.
I mean, some of them are more easily tamed than others. And, you know, ours is a highly food motivated kitty. So she's like,
she's learning how to walk with a harness, Jim. We're trying.
Yeah, she's going to drag you right to the couch and start scratching the shit out of
it. Yeah.
She does. I don't know. It's kind of. It,
she grew up bad.
To...
We rescued her off from State Road 32. She's a year old. She'd already had a litter of kittens.
Teenage mom. She
yeah.
was, yeah.
I didn't realize she
it's
was
a lot about like training up front. We bought her a scratching post that was covered in carpet and rope.
Yep.
Don't give them a toy made out of carpet because then they'll go to the carpet to tear up to sharpen their claws. So I think that was a early mistake that we made.
Plus, we could do things better.
And we could be a little bit better about the spray bottle whenever she does asshole stuff like that.
She used to be, like now she's like, it's gone to where the level of destruction she causes is within, like, you know, our tolerances.
Yeah. I see it less frequently, certainly.
Yeah.
I remember back in your old apartment. The couch she like fucking destroyed.
Yeah, the sides of the couches are pretty bad. But there again, we could have gotten, like, you know, they make products that keeps that from happening. We just didn't ever do it. And we thought we'd get a new... Because that's the thing. When we bought that couch, one of the attractive things is you can get a new cover from IKEA. You can do that, like, once a year, and it's, like, no big deal. And then they discontinued the couch a year after we bought it. And I'm like, motherfucker. She'd be against Swedish law. Like, they should have to maintain the covers for 10 years past this discontinuing an IKEA couch.
Or let us know.
I'm going to call King Olaf.
3 to 5 years notice when they plan on discontinuing an item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't Sweden have a king?
Sweden probably has two kings.
King?
At least.
King
Swe and
ha!
King
Goose, King Gustav. I'm sorry. I said Olaf. It's Gustav. I'm gonna write to His Royal Highness and say, look, you want us to keep buying your goddamn flat pack furniture, you need to give us some assurances, some guarantees, quid pro quos. If you know what I'm saying,
it's pretty clear.
Yeah, it really is.
Subtexts.
Well, but you know. Is it clear? If I admit it right here in a club,
if I say it's not clear afterward?
Yeah, yeah. I said I wanted nothing from King right. Gustav. I called him Olaf. I'm not even talking to the same guy. You don't know. Never heard of Olaf.
All right. Final question for the day. Dummy says, going with the Christmas cookie theme, what's the best way to eat a gingerbread man? Do you bite off their legs, turning them into a quadriplegic, or do you go straight for the head for a quick and painless death?
I'm a head with the quick painless death guy. Yeah.
I like to eat the butthole first.
Really?
Yeah. Just sit him right in the middle.
I don't even remember. I can't remember ever having a gingerbread cookie, but I know I have.
I like to go with the human gingipede. I just put its crotch in my mouth until it gets soggy and just kind of disintegrates.
Squeeze them together.
I do several of them like
just
that,
and then I
match them head, and they all congeal together, and then you get the human gingipede.
And then where do you start from there? Once you make the human
gingipede, then you eat the whole train ass first.
It depends on the size, I think, because a head could be a very big bite depending on the size of the gingerbread cookie.
Cecily, have you ever been with a man with a tiny gingerbread? Have you ever been with a tiny gingerbread man?
Gingerhead.
Gingerhead, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Did you want a real answer for that?
Lunchtime.
Are we done? Are we done with lunch?
That's it. That was the last question.
Oh, boy. Next week.
Again, next week is the last one before for the rest of the decade.
It's true.
But there's a ton of cool shit coming out next week. The live watch and podcast of Die Hard is going to be out. That's really exciting and fun. And then we've got on the day of Christmas, we have another Christmas Eve.
We'll be dropping a Christmas surprise down your chimney.
Down your chimney, we're bombing it. And we've got will be a fresh live watch and podcast in that time period. So I shit you not. These, especially the video version of the podcast, are just fucking hilarious. I, like, several times in the original recording, Jim and I, like, cry laugh, and it's really funny. Like, the Larry the Cable Guy Jingle All the Way, oh my god. You're Ruth Bader Twinsburg. you earned your pay for the year, man.
Yeah.
That was, like, it was really solid. Pun. Him taking Santa Claus shit hostage. Yeah. All-time classic. You guys are missing it if you're not listening to these podcasts and watching them on. You go to baldmove.com, log in and watch them live.
Yeah, get them now.
Not live, watch them on video.
While you still can watch them.
Yeah, before the Worldwide Wrestling Federation pulls their copyright from us because we're using their clips in fair use.
I have a lot to say about that. Why that's the one you protected more than Home Alone is beyond me.
Yeah.
But it happened and it's up there now, and the other ones will be too. All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Merry Friday the 13th, everybody. Have a good weekend. Thanks for your support.